incredible. Always amazing. But you know what? I could go on and on with these odd little stories, but that's going to get us nowhere. And speaking of nowhere, let's get to our first guests.
Excellent.
Very nicely done.
Now, there's multiple. There's more than one member. So let's get one guy in first. And we'll be talking to Jaystrom Mulberry.
Excellent.
Hello.
Hello, is this Jaystrom?
Yes, it is.
How welcome to the
audio?
Show.
Thank you.
You sound great, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Output.
But welcome. My name is Antubert, and this is Tyler Hollywood, my temporary co-host.
Tyler Hollywood. Hey, Antubert. How are you guys doing?
Great. Now, Nowhere in Mulberry, for those of you who don't know, is a podcast who's been going along for like 2 years. Very, very entertaining, all kinds of podcast awards. Everybody loves Nowhere in Mulberry.
Then, well, we missed out on a few awards.
Well, hey, you're up there. You're
overlooked, as they say.
Adam Curry knows who you are.
Oh, yeah, right.
Now, then something exciting happened.
Yes.
Even more exciting than their success as podcasters. They came to Talk Radio X and now on Fridays do a live show. They record their podcast live.
Yes, sir.
And let me tell you, I heard the show where you filled in for the live test show. Much thanks for that. And it was fantastic.
Oh. Really? Thanks.
A little too good because you were doing my show better than me. I didn't like that one bit, but it was you did a great job.
I'm blushing right now.
Wow. My plan worked. Now, in addition to yourself, we have another fella. So let's push the limits of Skype and see if talk to Bill, also from Mayberry. Mulberry.
Mayberry? I don't know. Is he there? I think he was having audio problems or something. I'm not sure if he's there.
We're attempting to contact him right now.
Oh.
Connecting with Bill L. Mulberry.
Yes. The wonders of Skype.
The person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable.
Okay.
We'll bang that chick.
Yeah, I think, is that Isabella Rossellini? That's who I always think it is.
Good call.
Sound like
they got her under contract at Skype.
But like, in, what the hell movie was that? What they find the ear, the David Lynch movie.
Oh, Blue Velvet.
Blue Velvet. Isabella Rossellini, right? Let's see. Let's try Bill one more time. And if not, he's not even online. Okay.
I think he's rebooting is what happened. Some kind of audio problem that sometimes occurs while you're doing a show, usually.
Yep.
And you're betrayed by your computer.
Now, that's the thing about live radio. Now, you're used to making podcasts for the most part.
The person whom you're trying to reach is currently
it's Isabella again.
Yeah, leave a message after the beep.
Hey, Bill. This is Antubert and the gang. And we're just calling you. I don't know. We'll talk to you in a minute.
All right. I think he's online now.
Now he's online.
That's what he was doing. He was rebooting.
Oh, you know what he's doing? The prima donna thing. He's showing up late.
Right. All the attention is on Bill now.
Yes.
He's holding out for more Twinkies and cheese.
All right. Well, I'm not showing him.
That's all we pay here, by the way.
Let's see.
Really? That's it?
That's it.
Oh, I guess you didn't read the contract.
Yeah. Gotta read that fine print.
There's a contract? I'm finding out all this now.
I think we have a connection. Bill, are you there, sir?
I am here. Hold on.
Nice.
Hey.
Oh. It's applause. Thank you very much. I know how great I am, but you don't have to enforce that.
You're right. He is a prima donna.
Hey, Bill, I've been talking about you before you're here. Sorry about that.
That's all right. I know you can't resist.
Okay, now, boys, I would like you to...
The Mulberry Boys.
The Mulberry Boys. I would like for you to explain...
What are we, a gay 80s band? What about the Mulberry Men?
That sounds like a Chippendales thing.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds even gayer, Bill, so...
Oh, yeah. You know what? Just forget that.
To me, you boys. I don't know why.
Okay.
All right. I'll take that.
I don't mean anything bad by it. So, I would like you to explain to our audience what exactly the Mulberry... Nowhere in Mulberry is, for those who don't already know. Sort of like, give us a synopsis.
Okay, do you want the original synopsis or the one that's now?
First, the original intentions, and then what it has evolved into.
Okay, originally, it was to be a small town radio show. Prairie Home Companion or something like that, but think of a small town where there's nothing to do and all we have to talk about is the things we love: TV, movies, pop culture.
Right.
And later on we kind of dropped the kind of pretending we're on a radio station and more like we're just doing the show. And the town is called Mulberry, and possibly one of the worst names ever, because Mayberry is what everyone rings up.
Right.
But, you know, that's okay, because Mayberry is a small town, too. But there's no Opie or Aunt B.
Oh, no Aunt B in her pies?
But there is Floyd the Barber. So.
Oh, Andy! Oh.
So now I guess you would call us a film and television and pop culture radio show. No longer a podcast, just so everyone knows.
Right.
We're a live show now.
Taking great pride in that now.
Podcasting is dead. I just want to announce that to the world. Okay?
Wow.
Adam Curry.
Yeah, it's a thankless hobby. We don't need that. We're live. That's the way I'm taking it now.
And let me tell you something else about live radio. It takes more balls to do live radio.
Yes, it does. No. Well, yeah. I mean, I get this little feeling in my stomach before I go on, and that's what I want.
Right.
You get too lazy when you do it in your house, and then you edit everything when you're done. Oh, I messed up here. I coughed here. Live is so much better. There's energy.
Right.
And when it's done, there's like a rush to it.
Right. It's really go ahead.
I'm sorry. We always prided ourselves in the energy we put into the show every week. We act like, even before we were doing it live on Talk Radio X, that we were doing it live for someone, even if it was just for ourselves. And there was very minimal editing that would go on. We would maybe cut out some dead air or a lot of ums and ahs. But we tried to keep it as pure as possible. And now... every Friday night, Jason and I will talk during the week, and the moment the show's over, we're like, oh, I can't wait till next week. And we haven't had that in a long time.
Yeah, it's addictive.
Right. It is. And like I always say, it's a live shared experience, and it makes it different than recording something in a vacuum.
Yeah, it does, definitely. And I hope that I just want our listeners to follow us to the live show. Hopefully we make it fun enough where they're downloading it now and they hear it and they're like, I'd rather listen to it live.
Right.
That's what I'm hoping happens.
Right. That would be great. See, what nice boys these are.
In fact,
you're such nice boys.
Can we make history on Talk Radio X right now and say that, announce a new show?
Well, okay.
Can we do that?
Hold on.
Mulberry Bill and I would like to, with your permission, do a daily lunchtime show Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays.
Wow.
Holy smokes.
Yes, sir.
Wow. That would
be kinda cool.
I think we have to get Radio Dan in again for this.
This was sprung on me this evening also, but I think it's a great idea.
What do I know about this stuff? But that sounds wonderful. Live?
Yes. Live.
A live lunchtime show.
And possibly not even podcast. When it's over, it's gone forever.
Really?
It's ether. Or rerun. How about that? Reruns.
Reruns.
Hey, I'm still thinking.
Good time, please.
Okay, we're contacting the program director of Talk Radio X, Radio Dan.
Who this is very serious.
Yes.
He must be off eating another burrito.
Totally.
Radio Dan?
Right.
Sorry. Twice in one night.
Twice in one night. That means I'm good for the next 6 months, you know.
I know.
Pushing the limits of Skype.
Yes. Now,
let's get a few more people in here.
I'm here with the Mulberry Boys. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Isn't this above our limit? I don't know.
I think so.
All right. Now, I'm here with the Mulberry Boys, and they just made an announcement.
Crime solvers?
Slash proposal. And please, do it again for the benefit of Radio Dan.
What did I say before? Oh, yes. Mulberry Bill and I would like to do a, I'm going to say daily, but really it's 3 days a week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, lunchtime live show. With your permission, sir.
Okay, so Jason, should I pretend to be surprised?
Yes.
Oh my God! Wow, that's a great idea.
That's a fantastic.
Wow.
Wow.
And I have two. And hey, can I get your opinion on names for the show?
Oh, okay.
Or are we taking up too much time with this?
Oh no! Please, we got all the time in the world.
All right. There's the Mulberry Mayberry RFD thing, and I don't know, but how about Mulberry Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? Hmm? Okay, that's one. And the other one was Flying Blind, meaning that there's no preparation for the show. Basically, what Bill and I do, what we do every day when we talk is, hey, did you see this on here on YouTube? Did you see this article? And that's what we'd be talking about on the show. The websites we look at every day, and that's what we're talking about during lunchtime.
Okay.
Sounds like a lot of shows that we have.
Lunch with Jason and Bill.
Lunch.
Tasty. Lunch with Jason and Bill.
Lunchtime. Lunch. I don't know. That has gay connotations to it also. I'm kidding. I got nothing.
Let me ask you a question, though.
I'm sorry. I kind of started this, and now it's going out of control.
When is lunchtime?
Lunchtime is, what do you say, Bill? Is it a two-hour show, or is it a one-hour?
I would probably do an hour, maybe an hour and a half.
Right. From lunchtime is between 11 and 1, something like that, or 11 to 12, or 12 to 1, something like that. Hey, we'll brainstorm about this later.
Yeah. This is the beauty of live radio and the live test show. Things always happen on the
air. That's what the live test show is all about right now.
Right. This is classic live test show, making deals and seeing development live on the air. Love it.
Yeah, so friends and influencing people.
So that's the idea I have right now. So.
Oh, this is wonderful to me because more live programming on Talk Radio X is what we need. Talented folks like you boys are what we need. This is wonderful.
Well, thank you.
We're always
doing
the
Friday show. So anyway, we're brainstorming ideas.
That's wonderful. This is great. So this is great. So we could look forward to this by next week or something. I don't know.
Possibly.
Maybe.
Next week or the week after. We'll figure it out.
Very soon.
Well, just let us know when you're ready.
I will, definitely.
That's wonderful.
That's going to be awesome.
So
what do you think, Bill? Do we lose Bill again?
I might be just pushing it with the number of people in the conference.
Oh, okay.
All right,
I'll
Radio.
Take this moment.
All right. Okay, Radio Dan, thank you again so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you later, guys.
All right. Radio Dan. The voluptuous Radio Dan. So.
Yes.
Indeed. Now, what do you
have? After a couple more burritos.
These guys are
shot.
Now, what do you have coming up tomorrow night on Nowhere in Mulberry?
Tomorrow night on Nowhere in Mulberry, we'll talk about the regular shows that we talk about, like Big Brother, Who Wants to Be a Superhero, make fun of them. We'll do the news and DVDs of the week. And Bill possibly will talk about a couple of movies that he's seen.
Me?
Yes.
I'm
if you
to
see
talk
them.
Now? Yeah, tomorrow I plan on, since, you know, you guys were talking, I think I dropped out there. Tomorrow I plan on going to see 310 to Yuma and, what else was I going to go see, Jason?
Shoot 'em up.
Shoot 'em up. Yeah, so I'll have reports on those.
Great. Well, how do you guys feel about science fiction movies?
They're dead art.
No. What are you, Ridley Scott? No, I love many sci-fi films, and also, I don't know, I hate some.
Yeah, I saw Sunshine a few weeks ago, and I just recently imported the Japanese DVD of it, the Danny Boyle film Sunshine, and it is pretty incredible for a new science fiction, kind of a new take, kind of like a Solaris alien feel to it. Okay. And a lot of people aren't happy with it because of the ending, but I like the ending. So I was really excited to watch it. I've been watching it nonstop for the past few days. But I'm a huge fan of sci-fi cinema.
So, like, in other words, are you guys excited that there's a new Star Trek movie coming out?
I'm more excited that J.J. Abrams is doing it, the guy who did Lost and Alias, than I am about a new Star Trek, because the last couple of films, really, I mean, they weren't that much to get excited about.
No,
so it's neat. It's neat doing the reboot, like they did, say, with James Bond, doing
a new young take on it.
Yeah.
Try to get away from the what was that? The Berman and Braga group that were
They killed the franchise
all over them.
Yeah.
So I remember, what was the last one with the with the Next Generation crew?
Star Trek Incontinence, I think, is what it was called.
Yeah,
actually,
there was
one that was pretty good with the, you know, they're fighting the Borg. They went.
The final contact. No, first contact.
Right. It was the silly.
Yeah, I saw that one in the theater, and it genuinely creeped me out. I was in high school whenever I saw that in the theater, and it was it had a really good unsettling feeling to it.
Yeah. And, you know, Patrick Stewart, over the top, you know.
Engage.
They shall pay for what they've done, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's the one where he calls Wolf a coward.
Right. Right.
You are a coward.
Control. Right.
And,
never call
pissed.
A large black Klingon a coward.
Right. He's got,
they're
that
not
means
black
he's got
Klingons.
Balls.
They're just Klingons.
Well, the dude's black.
You know what's funny,
hey,
though?
I'm just stating the obvious here. Don't be getting all, you know.
No, I'm just saying all Klingons are that color, so there's not a
not
black
in the beginning,
Klingon.
Dude. Not in the beginning.
Well, the first Klingons, as I mentioned, from the 60s, look like Mexicans.
Yes, yeah, they had the...
They came and did your laundry and told you about honor. And
they had the pointy goatee thing going on.
Yeah.
You know what's funny when you bring up the sci-fi angle is Bill and I actually met because of our love of Star Wars.
Really?
Huge Star Wars geeks.
Yeah, and I don't know. Should we tell the story even, Bill?
Yeah, let's go ahead. I think it's, you know, it's we both are home theater fanatics,
right?
And we belong to a home theater forum type place. We won't mention the site because I kind of despise the guy who runs it. But so we all, a group of us from that site, got together and we decided to play the MMORPG Star Wars Galaxies, and we all kind of hooked up. And when the clan that we started to break apart, Jason and I kind of our friendship grew because we were the only ones left that were still playing. And you can take it from there, Jason.
Wow.
Yeah. Are you familiar with MMOs or?
No, I'm
the massively multi online role playing games. It was my first one that I'd ever played. You know, like EverQuest, they call it EverCrack because it's so addictive.
I've heard of it and I've seen people play it, but I don't know much about it.
This was the first one I played, and I don't know. There's what's funny about the game is there's a chat room in the game where you're chatting the entire time you're playing. And a lot of times you're chatting more than you're playing, and you just talk about stuff and you make friends that way. It's kind of weird. A lot of people, you know, have met people that they end up marrying and stuff. It's really a strange kind of.
Will you marry me, Jason?
A subculture on these games that they have. And yeah, luckily,
we were part of a group where the clan leader ended up marrying one of the girls in the game, and actually in the real world also, or something. He like flew from Cincinnati to Australia.
Wow.
And
yeah,
just thought, wow, really, this guy is really.
Yeah, we were like,
up.
What a dork. No, it was a little strange, but still, anyway, it was like, hey, Bill, enough of this game. Let's do a podcast instead. I keep reading about this podcast thing where we do our own radio show, and that's pretty much what it came from.
Wow.
Yeah, and we started talking about, like, doing a, at first it was a radio serial where we would live in, like, this zombie-infested town, and
that's a lot of work, though.
Yeah, every week would be us dealing with different things, and we just kind of went, no, let's
do
something.
Just talk about movies and TV.
So, yeah, it was basically, let's talk about what we always talked about while we were playing the game.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's best, and I'm glad that's what we got. I wouldn't want to hear about zombies every week.
Oh, no, believe me, in the beginning, frightening. It was all about zombies. We worked them in every possible angle believable.
Yeah, we killed many zombies during the show.
Do you know who the first zombie was?
The first zombie?
Jesus Christ.
Well, really?
Right. Well, they buried him in the cave, and he came out.
Did he crave human flesh, though?
So much so that he said, don't even touch me. Don't touch me, because I want to eat you.
Oh, I know. He is the flesh or stuff like that.
Right. He's the first zombie. All zombies come from Jesus. I don't know. It's a theory I'm working on.
Nice. I want to hold a hand going for that. I want to read this thesis when you're done.
Okay. It's in the works. So that's how it evolved. Very interesting. People are forging relationships through the internet all over the place. It's turning the entire globe into one community. We can now align ourselves with folks that have similar interests and thought patterns instead of having to deal with people that are just you're stuck with geographically.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what's why I met my the love of my life, my beautiful flower, a twinkle, doing this very radio show.
Wow.
In
great.
China. And wow. Subsequently, I married her, and that's why I was away for 2 weeks, visiting in a conjugal fashion.
At least you found her on, while doing a radio show and not playing an inane game.
Well,
like a Star Trek game or something like that.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, you know.
Why isn't there a Star Trek MMO?
Oh, there was.
Oh, there was?
Yes, there was. It was more text-based. But
text. Oh man,
I can see why.
Like, choose your own adventure.
What was that game, Zork or whatever?
Zork. See, I'm giving away my age here.
Zork.
Those are the type of games I play.
Can't believe you pulled out the Zork.
Zork.
I can't believe I did either.
By the way, I don't recommend MMORPGs because they're highly addictive and they will ruin your life.
Oh,
and
no,
and if you're married or in a relationship, it will strain that too.
Oh, definitely. Jason, it was so funny. At some point, like, Jason's wife would go out of town, and he'd be like, oh, okay, so we got the weekend, and on Friday night, we'll do it all night, and then we'll sleep on Saturday, and then on the, you know, it was like, okay.
What you mean by do it all night is play the video game, by the way.
Yes, yes.
Just wanted to make that clear.
We would build in another state on Star Wars Galaxies. Yes.
Wow.
We will roam the hills of Tatooine.
Yeah, we would go crate hunting.
Wow.
Okay, that's too much information.
It was fun. We have to admit it. We liked it.
This is amazing.
By the way, Antibert,
yes,
can I
sir.
Just say real quick? when I think of the name Antobert, I think A2 Ernie. I just wanted to.
You mean like one of the other boys from My Three Sons?
From Sesame Street.
Oh, okay.
Bert and Ernie.
Okay.
A2 Ernie. Like A2 Brutus.
Right. Like you two. Yes.
Man, sorry, I thought I'd throw that out there.
Wow.
Screeching halt.
Thank you.
Exactly.
How would you boys, if you're not busy, how would you like to stick around and meet Dr. Mars?
Sure.
Sure.
I'm at a loss to not knowing Dr. Mars. So
Dr. Mars does.
Yeah, as long as you introduce us.
Dr. Mars will do does a segment on the Live Test Show each and every Thursday night called Shrinkin' Thinkin'. He is a legitimate card-carrying PhD holder, and he is a legitimate psychologist. He is also independently wealthy and sometimes likes to drink and lives the lifestyle of a like an Arthur with a PhD.
Nice.
He has like servants and stuff. He's an international traveler, and once a week he helps people. He uses his powers of psychology to help a patient each and every week. This week we don't have any patients, but after listening to you boys for a little while, I figured you'd like to meet Dr. Mars.
Sounds good.
All right, let's see if we get him in. Let's see. Now
it might be too much.
What's that?
Might be too much of a problem for him to solve.
The online role play crack addiction.
I don't know.
Yes. Hey, we licked that. Now we're addicted to live radio.
I don't know if it's just
damn me. You, Radio Dad.
Let's see. I he might not be online. Let's see.
Maybe he just got drunk and passed out with Sir John Gielgud.
Huh.
I do not see him.
The person whom you're trying to reach.
Wow.
Hey, Isabella!
See, I should really check these things before I make the big announcement. Once again.
I'm a screeching halt.
Wow. Well, we'll find out what happened to Dr. Mars and report back. Usually,
did he go to Mars like Dr. Manhattan?
No, it's actually M-A-R-Z, like the bar.
Oh, okay. The Watchmen drop there, if anybody knows what I'm talking about.
No, admittedly, you guys are like a little hipper than me, and a lot of stuff you're talking about is I'm not hip to, like Zork.
Trust me, Zork is not hip.
No, I never played Zork.
It's a good thing not to know Zork.
Unfortunately, I did play Zork.
I would start, you know, I was maybe like a teenager, and I would play these text-based things and be like, what the? Give me my Nintendo. This sucks. I don't want to read.
Yeah,
I want to jump on mushrooms and kill turtles.
I'll just give you an idea where I'm coming from. When I was in high school, I had a computer class. And the computers in the class, they were just giant terminals. They were, you had to hook up through an acoustic modem. You pick up the big black phone, you dial a number. When you hear the tones, you put it in these two cups.
Yeah, like war games.
Yeah.
I was just thinking the same thing.
And there was no monitor. It was just a big printer, a big dot matrix printer. And when you establish connection, it would, you know, print out, connect. And if you wanted to load a program, you would type it in, hit return, and it would echo back the command. Now, if you wanted to save a program that you're working on, you would hit save, and a paper tape, like a ticker tape, from like the Adams family. Yeah. Punch tape would come out, and you'd have to roll it up and put a rubber band around it and take it home. That's
wow.
That's what
that's
computers
like even were. Before those gigantic 12-inch floppy disks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's where
was
I'm
that,
coming from.
Was that a game, the punch cards? What?
Yeah, like you know, your assignment in class was to write, and they did even had games, but it wasn't, it was all text-based. Or like
so
maybe,
you had to read?
Like, man, you're making my head explode.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Right. And I'm like, this is the future? I'm like, well, this is a big pain in the ass.
I know Kung Fu.
Yeah, I would have been like, I'll get back to computers in like 20 years.
Well, I had the, you know, Commodore 64. I don't know if you guys are familiar
with the worst game system ever. Took 45 minutes for a single game to load.
Right. Load, comma, 8, comma, 1.
Yeah.
Right.
My my friend had a Commodore 64. I'd go down there, and of course we had a Nintendo too, but we'd be like, oh man, let's play on the Commodore. And we would have our little joysticks, we'd put in the Ghostbusters disc and the load, and then it would be like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And we'd sit there and watch TV, and by the time it loaded, we didn't want to play anymore.
You had the cassette tape, right?
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, the cassette tape was the alternate, like, you know, external hard drive. And it was just a cassette player that had the information on it, like, I guess like a modem sound or something.
Yeah, see, I had friends that had all that stuff, and I'd be like, God, I want that. I don't know how it works, but I want that. But never had.
So
when I had, so large and sexy.
When I had the Commodore 64, I used to use it for music sequencing. They had actually some cool programs, but I got a modem. A 300 baud modem, if you could imagine how slow that is.
Man, that's fast.
And the 300 baud modem came with a disc for a Quantum Link. And it was you know how they used to have BBSs instead of the internet?
I remember this.
Yeah, would always dial up to BBSs.
Well, this was a graphic-based BBS. In other words, it had big blocks of color on the screen, and it says Quantum Link, and you had five menu choices. And, you know, it had little areas you could send messages back and forth to other members of Quantum Link. You could upload pictures that would take forever, download pictures, different things. And I was a member for a few years with the Commodore. Then I upgraded to the Commodore 128. I got the newer version of Quantum Link. Very, very happy. Now it's like almost a million members of Quantum Link. And I get a letter in the mail that says, we will be discontinuing the Quantum Link services. We're not going out of business, but we're changing our name. And you are welcome to be a charter member of America Online.
Wow.
Created by Quantum Computer Services, White Plains, New York.
Yeah, wasn't that in 91, whenever they changed over to America Online?
Yeah, 91.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you didn't realize after that you couldn't quit even if you wanted to.
Well, in those days, they charged you by the minute, like cell phones.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Talk about the stressful internet browsing.
And then when it upgraded to America Online, everybody started asking for your age, sex, and location.
Right.
And that's not even fair because it's dial-up, and everything takes like 20 minutes to load.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Like, I'm 20 now, but in 40 minutes, I'll be 21.
Right. I remember the first, like, color picture that I took the time to download was a bizarre picture, actually. It was a woman defecating on a man's face, and he was, like, eating it.
Nice.
And so it was worth the wait.
It's literally
when is this thing going to finish?
It took more than an hour to download this picture.
So you mean at halfway screen, you were like, nah, don't want it. Close.
No, because the defecation didn't. The picture was lengthwise, so you see, you know,
like what is going on? This is like a puzzle,
right? It was a woman's face, you know. Then she has a bare chest. She's like, whoa. Then you see her arms.
What the hell? So you mean in the days of internet when they had dial up, someone took the time to upload this thing?
Yeah.
That's shocking to me.
This is going to take all day, but the world is going to love this picture.
Yeah.
So even back then, we had gross websites.
The early adopters are always the perverts.
Right.
Oh, man, this is perfect for me to finally share my scat pictures.
Yeah, well, my art.
All technology is driven by pornography, I believe. into
his. That's what it seems like.
The earliest of the earliest movies, the silent movies, the first ones were porno movies.
It's like, yeah, this is a great Western, but how about we all get naked?
Right, that's the first thing people think of. Like, I'm sure, like, even back when they invented the piano, they probably said, all right, I'll play music and you strip. Like,
that was the whole reason behind it.
Right. We need some kind of catchy music for these broads to take their clothes off.
No, it's we got a piano. Now let's build a strip club to put the piano in.
Right.
The first scores.
Yeah. A burlesque house, I guess.
Right. I don't know. But, yes. So, oftentimes, guests would come over. Well, that's when I still had a few friends. And they would say, Antibert, what are you doing with this online? Who are you possibly talking to? And I would explain to them the awesomeness of talking to people around the world and saying that one day you too will be talking to people all over the world. Just got a message from a listener. No, I'm sorry, there is no Rob's Galaxy tonight. I'm sorry if I did not make that clear at the top of the hour. Robin McGee is on hiatus. She's, as you know, a professor at a college and at a university, and she had some schedule change, so she will be on hiatus for an undetermined period of time. But she will return to the airwaves. See, that's why I was trying to get the doctor in to sort of take the place of the Rob's Galaxy show.
So someone tuned in and they were like, who are these guys?
Right.
These guys are so annoying.
Right.
What are they talking about? The photo of what?
And Zork?
Duty.
Come on.
Yes. But, I believe the internet really has changed the world. We're too close to it to see it. But almost every aspect of our life has changed because of the computer and more so the internet.
Well, gosh, when I was a kid and I had to do a report, you had to go to the library.
Right.
There was like no other way to get the information needed.
The card catalog? Oh, God.
Yeah. And you had to know the Dewey Decimals. Don't you know the Dewey Decimal system?
Right.
You had to do that and you had to get the book and you had to check out a gigantic stack of books that you never end up reading.
Right.
And
that's what you're graphic.
Yes. Yeah,
and now you just go online. I don't know. I seriously, if we had an apocalypse and the internet just went down, I would be roaming the street, like not knowing what to do.
You'd have to loot.
Yeah, I mean, without Wikipedia, where would we be?
Right.
Without Wookiepedia.
Well, I think it's also making us not more intelligent, but we have more access to facts when we're making decisions about our life or doing stuff. We could easily look up something.
And much more access to scat porn.
Yes.
Yikes.
You know how hard it was to... Speaking of libraries, I remember this in grade school. I would go to the local public library in Yonkers. It was like a big house, basically. And The only naked picture I ever found was in a book called The Whole Earth Catalog. And they had, in this book, they were talking about another book which showed the different sexual positions. And there were only illustrations. But boy, I took this book out. As every time it was due back, I would renew it.
I love the library.
Right.
You would stumble upon greatness like that every once in a while in the library.
I didn't know. I was in the choose your own adventure aisle.
You know, I could never get into those because I would end up going back every time like, son of a bitch, I choose the wrong... Okay, I'm going to go back here. I could never finish those.
See, Antibert, this is our show. We just digress in another 2 hours.
Well, I was just thinking of that aisle, and I always felt I was much smarter than Encyclopedia Brown. I could figure those things out way before he could.
Well, not smarter than the Mulberry Boys. They always solved the crime.
How about the one? Remember the one-minute mysteries?
Oh, yeah.
I used to get them in like 25 seconds. It's like, the ice was made of soda, you idiot.
The ice is soylent green. It's people.
The picture is obviously a fake because there's no reflection of the flash, you idiot. And the window couldn't be open because the candle would be blown out. It was windy that day, moron.
That was the stuff that, like, it was so funny. You would go into the library, and it's a library I had. There was a children's section upstairs, and you would go through it and just be like, this sucks. I'm going downstairs with the big books. And you just go through there, and you'd find the National Geographic section and just look at, you know, native porn.
Remember when you thought that all women had breasts like those native women in National Geographic?
It's just the cucumbers.
Yeah, those, like, little...
Wow.
Okay, you guys lost me there.
Because of lack of support or some other reason, the naked natives that they would show in National Geographic always had, let's say they weren't attractive breasts.
Ski jump.
Not even.
Yeah. No. That would somewhat imply a teardrop quality. These were just boulders that just kind of hung.
And yeah, but some of them were like
marbles in a sack.
Yes.
Yes.
There you go.
The breasts looked like they had rickets.
Huh?
What?
Yeah. That's why very early on I became an ass man. An ass boy.
Oh, Jesus. Where are we going with this conversation? We go back to Quantum Link and the Commodore software showcase or something, please?
So anyway, Zork, the way you'd play Zork. So, Tyler Hollywood, what's up?
Not much, sir. I was just thinking of my days as a dungeon master on Zork.
Yes, Dungeon Master.
What?
Gavalier and Acrobat.
What is Zork? What is that?
It was a text-based adventure. Like, you would say, do you want to go left or right? And you would say, right. Be like, you are in a room with a dragon. And it would be like, oh, I am? Okay.
Close your eyes and imagine it.
Yeah, and then you kept typing things, like trying to figure out what to do next. Like, I could never play him, so I would type, like, go screw yourself. That command is not correct. I could never play those games because I wasn't creative enough to think, grab sword, slay dragon. I'd just be like, turn around, find somewhere else that's cooler.
Wow.
You gotta live the experience.
Yeah, I was never imaginative enough to do that.
Yep. That's what creative writing did for me.
Yeah, that's exactly why I could not play Dungeons & Dragons, other than the fact that the stigma of it, every Sunday going to church hearing about how it would eat my soul, and I would turn into a mindless zombie who worships Satan.
Right.
I always heard
the story about someone's character that died, and the person was so upset they killed themselves.
Yeah, that they died in real life.
Oh, that was the urban legend about it.
Yeah, if you got into it, you would die in real life.
Oh, Mazes and Monsters.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
With Tom Hanks.
Thank you.
Yes. The greatest Tom Hanks movie ever.
You know what was funny? When I was a kid and Mazes and Monsters was coming on TV, you're like, sweet, Mazes and Monsters. It's like Dungeons and Dragons. And then you sit through the thing and you're like, wait a second. This thing is like for parents, telling them what a danger of this gaming is. Your child could get lost in their imagination and never come back. They think they're in the forest battling orcs, and they will never come home.
And Tom Hanks will come home with them.
Yeah, Tom Hanks was lost forever. Genius film, by the way.
Yeah, it was up there with, like, Reefer Madness.
And it's up there with Kubrick's best.
Don't play.
Exactly.
But I never understood. I didn't know what rolling a character was. I didn't know. You know, I heard my friends would talk about it, and they'd say Dungeons and Dragons, and I would automatically be like, I don't play that. I had the fear of God instilled into me going to church every Sunday, not knowing anything at all.
Bill, we're
going to
dissect a cat in the forest. Will you want to come along?
Is there porn?
Nope. Yes.
The first time I we're going to take a picture of it and post it on the internet. And then poop on it. Yay!
Well, full circle.
Oh, do you think,
where do these shows go?
I don't know. It always winds up about duty somehow. Do you ever notice that?
Yeah. Ah, I gotta love the
toilet. Everyone loves duty. I mean, it's just. Oh, sorry.
Oh, you know, the we couldn't do this show right now without the internet.
Exactly.
Yeah. And well, that's the thing. I discovered Talk Radio X on accident.
Oh, and how was that?
I was in the useless forum for Podcast Alley, and I noticed a Radio Dan post, and in his signature, it said Talk Radio X. I was like, what the hell is that? Click, and hey, this is an internet radio station, a talk radio station. See, I don't listen to the radio for music, so automatically that would have turned me off as like, oh, he's just playing his CD collection or something.
Right.
But it was talk shows, and I realized when I realized that some were live, that got me really excited, so I immediately emailed Dan saying, I want on your station.
Wow. That's a success story.
That's awesome. That's how it happens. So really, even though it seems like, hey, I shouldn't hang out in places like Podcast Alley, for that reason, you should.
My theory is that internet radio, so we are pioneers. I believe that this will replace the popularity of podcasting as soon as the technology catches up. A lot of people are walking around with portable Wi-Fi, but when that reaches a certain saturation point, critical mass, I think more people would rather hear live in internet radio than canned.
Yes, I think so too. Immediately after hearing, when you realize that you could do a live radio show from your home, it's just like, why podcast anymore? That's the way I feel.
Well, you know, podcast is like a temporary solution based on the limitations of our technology. So we're at the point where, yes, we could transfer files back and forth through the internet, but to get to listen to them in your car, you sort of have to transfer them to a portable device.
Right.
And but that's changing, you know, as we speak. More and more hotspots and Wi-Fi is creeping into our airwaves. Entire cities are covered. Coffee shops, beaches, campsites, workplace, home. They even have a Wi-Fi hotspot that you put in your trunk, and you pay like an internet service, like $50 a month, and it turns your car into a Wi-Fi hotspot.
Sweet.
So you could just go in there with your laptop or Infusion, the Torian Infusion radio, which is an internet portable internet radio player.
Right. Wow. And, you know, podcasting, it serves its purpose. It's basically like TiVoing a program that you couldn't catch.
Yes.
I can understand that because I do download certain shows because they're not live. But if they were live, I possibly would listen to them live.
Right.
And if I had the chance to.
Right. It's just a different experience. And it,
right.
You know, especially for talk shows because it's a conversation. You know, it's if anybody listening would want to participate in a conversation, they have that availability. And also when there's guests on, you know, recently, who was it? The James Madison boys. 2 weeks in a row, they had Harry Kim from Star Trek, that's Garrett Wong, and the next week, or a couple weeks later, they had the Doctor from Voyager, the Robert Picardo.
Yep, right.
And I, you know, as a listener of the shows, it was so exciting for me that, to know that they're on there live right now, and in fact,
right.
I was able to call up and speak to both of them. You can't do that with a podcast.
When we're going to have the Black Klingon on our show.
Yeah.
Yes, awesome.
Michael Dorn.
When we started the podcasting thing, Jason said to me, hey, let's do this. And I was like, podcasting? What, you know, isn't that for, you know, losers? And he was like, no, seriously, we can do our own show.
You told me that.
Well, yeah, you know, and I was like, he's like, we can do our own show. We can talk. We can do whatever.
Well, immediately
we want.
You like, think, I'm not sure this is possible. This isn't that easy.
Yeah, and we started doing it, and, you know, I enjoy doing it. I really look forward to doing it every week, but I honestly have the only podcast I've ever listened to, and I listened to it maybe a handful of times, is our friend Andy and his show, The Hollywood Saloon, but I just don't listen to podcasts. I can understand people's appeal, but I just don't want to hear about Firefly or... you know, Slice of Sci-Fi or something like that. I don't care. I would rather listen to live radio.
Right.
I don't look forward to downloading something every week. I'd rather just turn on my radio and listen to see what's going on now.
Right.
As opposed to listening to, a podcast.
Right.
There's just something... Sorry, go ahead.
I've been broadcasting since 2002. I used to be on Fancast. And at that time, I had nothing to record my show with. You had to be there on Sunday afternoon to listen to the show, or you didn't get it.
Yeah.
And now the only reason I supply a replay is for my Australian fans, because they don't get to listen to the live show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's cool. See, I record everything because I'm afraid that it'll be gone forever. I don't know. It's like, oh, this is gold.
Yeah, well, you know, there's
gold. Very gold.
That was the Ovaltine bit, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Why don't they call it Round Team? Okay, so...
Oh, man.
What was I going to say about that? You know, the other thing is it almost still counts. Like, we play Tyler's replays and we play your replays during the week. People still are listening at the same time, and it was recorded as a live show. That kind of counts. Like, that's just as good in terms of the shared live experience for the folks that are listening to it on the replays, because everybody's sort of listening to it at the same time, and there was participation at the time it was recorded.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's why I would really like more listener interaction, to give it more of a, to add that live feel.
Right.
Yeah, that's the way we have always been. Like, we would post the show on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, and we would wait just for our forum to light up with feedback, and we wouldn't get any. And we would talk to each other like, this is so frustrating. I think we did a good show. Don't you think we did a good show? And we're like, yeah, we did a great show. Why isn't anybody posting? And then it turned into, like, this ongoing bit during the show where, like, you know, we know how everybody loves to talk about the show.
We do get emails from time to time, but I think you become, when you get a little bit of feedback, you're like, hey, I want more.
Here's the thing.
It's a natural thing, isn't it?
Well, yes. And it's very hard. Like, the comics on stage, they get that feedback instantly. They know whether, it's more difficult because you're sort of playing blindly. But... you have to understand one thing about this type of radio, or radio in general. Only a very small percentage of people listening actually participate. Like, when you're listening to a call-in show on a terrestrial radio, it takes thousands and thousands and thousands of listeners to produce the handful of people that call.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's a trick to have an interactive talk-type show on an internet radio station at this level. Even though we're doing quite well, it you know, even if one person calls, that's a lot based on the percentages.
Right. Because I myself, personally, if I listen to a show, I never call or write emails to it. So I don't know why I expect other people to do it.
See, that's one thing that I've always done. Like, if there was a I live in Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, and there was a show that I really enjoyed listening to on the weekend, so I started to email and interact with it, and, you know, I just kind of became a show regular where I would call in or email or something, and you actually get to become part of the show, and it becomes almost addictive in the way it is, you know, where you start a forum, and you get to know the people, and you become friends, and the people that are willing to become part of your show, it only makes it better. I think, we have so many callers, we have, we don't have so many, but we have callers that are willing to call in every week, leave a voicemail.
Right.
Yeah, we have a Eugene, if anybody knows who Eugene is, who is insane.
We have a caller, basically, who calls in to tell us how much he hates us, which is good to have.
Right. That's all been a motivator.
And it's all always hilarious.
Right.
But that's one thing, Bill. Like, what I like about Talk Radio X is a station to build that community with the entire station, all the listeners,
right,
identifying with all the shows, that kind of thing.
See, you get it.
I really feel that a show is as good as its station. And I think if the station is its own entity that you think of, its own thing, its own life, and these shows are with it. You know what I mean?
It's all about the interconnection with the shows, the relationship. Like, my favorite part of a lot of radio shows, and Jason has told me this too, is, like, if you're listening to a station and it's the last 30 minutes of one show and somebody else comes in for the next show and says, like, this is what we're going to be doing, and then they just start to play off each other. And that's always the most enjoyable because you can see that these people like to work together.
Right.
Right. And, shows intersect and mingle.
Yeah, it's all about the environment where the show is produced and the other shows that are involved.
Right. And exactly. We're doing that here. It's just on a virtual level because everyone comes from different parts of the country and the world.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's...
Which is even cooler in a way.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. It's very broad and diverse, and it's it just converges at Talk Radio X, and that's like the virtual place.
It's the X on the map.
Right.
Put on. Pull.
See, now, if I was quicker, I would have had the... see?
Thank you.
I was asleep at the wheel.
You know, we don't have a rim shot on our show.
No, we don't.
Those are some of the standards. You need the rim shot. You need the applause.
Yeah.
You need the laugh track.
We do have the Gold Jerry Gold from Seinfeld, though.
Yeah, do you?
Yeah, there's a great site that I found a few weeks ago for all those kind of sound drops called the Free Sound Project. And it's all these people that just make, you know, the sounds, like the record scratches, the applause, the sound, you know, they tape their coffee makers, you know, stuff like that. And I just sent that to Jason the other day, and there's some really great stuff on there for radio shows and just general production stuff.
That's the Free Sound Project.
Yeah.
Writing that
down. I think it's part of an EDU. I'm not sure which one, but...
See, we make our own drops now. So
yeah, we do.
We've got like about 500 sound clips.
And it's all one word. It's Free Sound, FreeSound. And I think it's from Indiana University, I believe. I'm not sure. But if you just type in Free Sound one word project in Google,
it'll come
up. What
we need to do is have a community soundboard with all of the sound effects. How sweet would that be?
That's not a bad idea.
Like in Flash, all you got to do is run the mouse over it. Plays the clip.
Right, right.
Or not necessarily run the mouse. You have to click it because then you would slide it across and you'd hear all the sound.
That would be a...
That was a big
cool
thing a few years ago for like prank phone calls and whatnot, the soundboard.
Yeah, I made so many of those. The Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, I've been looking into Flash to learn how to do that. It's pretty simple, but... there's tons of them out there still.
It's so hack now. You know, I never do it, but... Like in the very, very beginning, I would have this. It wasn't Arnold. It was something else. But I just constantly would call people on Skype and do this to them.
Like all the knives and stabbing weapons.
Yeah, right. You asshole.
This is how you met Mongol Boy, isn't it?
Huh?
This is how you met Mongol Boy, isn't it?
Probably. I don't know why I always wind up meeting Chinese people. I don't know what that's all about.
Well, that's
because they're so friendly.
They are.
We Mulberry has listeners from the Philippines, which I think is interesting.
Yeah,
we had
Australia,
listeners from Norway.
Yeah,
which I'm like, huh? We're talking about shows. Do you even see these shows? I don't understand. But it's
and
really
it's so
cool.
it's Yeah, it's so surprising to know that these people are getting these shows, like, whether the same time as we are, just via satellite on a different network. And
right.
Just like the UK is with, like, Channel 4, they show 24 and a number of shows.
Lost.
From the, so, yeah.
Right.
But
and they really need shows like yours that discuss it and they embrace it, so it's probably very popular. That's good.
But also, we're also damned if we don't, damned if we do kind of thing where people will say, I can't listen to your show, I don't watch those shows. So they automatically won't listen.
Right.
Or they'll listen to a point and then
Caught up.
Yeah.
I'm not caught up, like, with that show.
Don't talk about Entourage, I haven't watched it yet. Yeah. And it's like, well,
you know,
I'm sorry.
That whole spoiler, like, isn't it amazing, like, we are such inconsiderate bastards as a civilization here in the United States. Everybody's selfish. You ever drive on the highway, you could see the pathetic behavior people exhibit. However, for some reason, whenever talking about movies, everybody is so concerned not to ruin the movie for the other person with the spoilers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I myself, it's just amazing to me. I don't know why people care about that. But for me, I don't care. Tell me the end of the movie. It doesn't bother me one bit.
Normally, I would agree with that, but I'll never forget, a few years ago, I was watching The Daily Show, and it was about 20 minutes before I was about to leave to see Saving Private Ryan, and they did their weekly film reviews, and it just flat out said on the screen, Saving Private Ryan, Tom Hanks dies. And I was like, you bastards.
Yeah, but why?
Like, I was so angry.
But how does that ruin the movie for you?
Because it tells me that this journey that I'm about to experience ends with a character I get to know dying. It puts, you know how you watch a movie and you enjoy it and then you go, wow, I got to go back and watch that again to see what I caught.
Right.
Or didn't. You miss all of that because you already know this person is going to die. It takes the enjoyment away from it. Like the experience of it, going into it blindly. And I can totally understand people getting angry at it, but also when it's something stupid like Jason's Sidney White that he saw last week.
Stupid?
I don't care because it's just the same rehashed bullshit as most Hollywood
movies. But a big movie, say you wouldn't want to know the end of the Harry Potter book, I could understand because I don't read those books, but I do see the movie, so I wouldn't want to know the ending.
Yeah, like when I was reading The Deathly Hallows, I kept saying to Jason, like, this is pretty good. This is, and he's like, don't! I don't want to know!
It doesn't like, tell me about it in 2 years, all right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I am kind of like that on spoilers.
It's just, it's not fair to the, like, for me, I always want to know the ending because I want to know if it's going to be worth my while. Like, I want to, and I also like to see, if I know the ending, I could see how they get there.
Well, maybe that's the New Yorker personality in you.
Maybe.
Like, kind of like that, you know, that hurry up mentality of,
right. Like, cut to the chase.
Give me the ending and I'll tell you whether it's worth my time.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
I can totally understand that.
But now I can never know the endings to movies because everybody won't talk about it. So I
there
like,
are spoiler sites you could go to.
Yeah, I have to find those. Yeah.
The book spoiler, the movie spoiler, there's sites like that. Like, if there's a movie that I don't want to see but I want to know about, I'll go there and read those.
I hate that. Like, so I'm just with one other person, right? They just saw a movie, right? Like, Freddy versus Jason. So I'll say, Who won?
Who won? The studio that put the movie out won because you saw the piece of shit. You paid money for it.
Yes.
All right. Alien versus Predator. So who won?
Again, the studio won.
Who won, the Alien or the Predator? I can't tell you. But no, I'm giving you permission to tell me. No, I'm not telling you. I want you to see it and enjoy it for yourself. No, but you don't understand. I don't care. I just want to know the end so I don't have to waste my time watching the movie.
Yeah, it's like the Rocky Balboa movie. Who won? Well, technically, you know.
Right, did he actually win or did he just get the praise for almost winning?
Yeah, it's like, did he really win? Well, spiritually, yes.
You can't
spiritually?
But no. What do you mean?
You just got to see it. No, I'm trying to avoid that. Just tell me. That's what I don't like.
Who won in Rocky V? Tommy Morrison? Yes, he won with AIDS.
Oh, good Lord.
Wow. I think Rocky hit him so hard he gave him AIDS.
You'll hear this from me many times. I've said it on the show, but that's truly the only deserving person to ever get AIDS is Tommy Morrison.
Yeah, but when guys...
Just for Rocky V.
Wow.
Oh, Tommy. Oh, come on. We're like, you're like my son. Sorry, Rocky. That was a great movie.
You know what? I've never seen Rocky V.
What?
I've never seen it.
Got to watch Rocky V.
Seen the other
one. Yeah, the best part is at the end with the Don King character. He goes, touch me, I'll sue.
Right.
Rocky punches him in and goes, go ahead and sue me. I don't got anything.
Well, that's one of those movies that so many people said it was so horrible. Why would you want to see it? That's the way I felt.
There's something, excuse me, but just the certain movies, for me anyway, Rocky and Die Hard, no matter how horrible they are, I am compelled to watch them. All the way through.
Do not be lumping Die Hard in with Rocky. Die Hard is one of the epitome of action films.
He's not talking about the first one. He's talking about the sequels.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I'm not comparing them as movies. I'm comparing them in the fact that I'm always, if they're on cable or on regular TV, I have to stop whatever I'm doing and just watch them all the way through.
Well, you know what happened with me the other day as I was flipping through and the Steven Seagal film Hard to Kill was on, the one with Bill...
Is that the one? Anybody see Jimmy? Jimmy here?
It's the one where he gets killed, he gets shot at the very beginning, his wife gets killed, and then it's behind it is this William Sanderson character, and he always says, you can take that to the bank. And Steven Seagal is sitting in the bedroom watching this guy on TV, and he flashes back to the moment when he first heard this guy say that, and he goes, you can take that to the bank, the body bank. And I was like, yes! Yes!
Best line ever.
It is so bad. Or no, it's not the body bank, it's the blood bank. You can take it to the blood bank. And it's just so bad that you have to sit there and watch it like, oh my God, this was actually made?
I know.
I don't understand how somebody sat there and went, that is an amazing line. That really gets to the point of this guy's
probably improv that.
Well, he is a genius.
Yeah. He's the laziest fighter, though. He's the karate, you know. He just, like, slaps people. Like, he just...
Well, please. I know. He physically pushes people as his, his martial arts style.
Now his films are just shots of his big, fat head and his arms, his hands flying like a sissy fight.
Right, right, right.
There's absolutely no movement whatsoever in his gigantic corpus body, their corpulent body that's just...
His Brando-like mass.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just watched his direct-to-video film called Into the Sun, and it's him in China. Or
why?
Japan.
Why did you watch this?
Because it's Steven Seagal, and he makes some of the best, worst movies ever.
Yes, yes. And I will watch a Steven Seagal movie as well, all the while knowing it's a piece of crap.
I only watched the ones he directed.
Radio Dan points out the movie I was thinking of was called Out for Justice.
Oh, yes.
Anybody see Jimmy? I'm going to keep coming back till somebody tells me where Jimmy is. He's hitting people.
Which one is the one where he goes, I think you better dial 911 before he's going to kick the guy's asses in the liquor store?
This is the one where he's on the submarine. He's a chef on the ship or something.
Oh, Under Siege with Tommy Lee Jones and Gary Busey.
I'm just a chef.
Right. Yeah. Casey Ryback was his name.
How do you know that?
Jesus.
And then my favorite one was with the psycho reggae Jamaican drug dealer.
Marked for Death.
Marked for Death, yes.
What about the one?
Yeah, man, I'm going to kick your ass.
Oh, that's with the twins. He cuts the head off one and he still has another one.
And the big battles, he throws the psycho reggae Jamaican drug dealer down the elevator shaft.
After poking his eyes out and doing something else.
some of the best films ever made. I think the Steven Seagal films almost should have been made by Canon Films. That good.
And then, like, in those later movies, he just, like, wears the big overcoat so you can't see how fat he is.
Yeah, Fire Above Ground, where he wears that gigantic friggin' bear coat.
Parka,
the entire thing.
So he started getting all Native American. He started going crazy Native American on everybody.
That was his epic Save the Earth movie.
Yeah. I'm going to save the environment by kicking ass.
Right. He's going to kick global warming's ass.
Yeah. He's not going to actually physically lift 90. His leg.
I'm going to kick your ass without kicking your ass.
Standing still.
Right.
Yes. I'm going to shove you.
I'm going to shove you with my mind, with my Jedi powers.
Oh, back to Star Wars.
Hey.
See how deaf they are.
Don't you understand that everything comes back to Star Wars?
That is true. How great would it have been to seen Steven Seagal as a Jedi in the prequels? It would have made up for them sucking so bad. Instead of Samuel L. Jackson.
Anybody see Darth Vader? Darth Vader here?
It would have been if it was Steven Seagal as Mace Windu. Awesome.
Oh, man. I can't even imagine how terrific.
Can you just imagine his face CGI'd onto the stunt guy as he's fighting the lightsaber? It would have been awesome.
Yes, he would just use the lightsaber like a bat and just hit people.
That would be
I'm
awesome.
I'm going to break your effing legs, man.
Right.
He sends the emperor to the blood bank.
Would have loved it. To the back to tank. Sorry.
Yes.
To the back to.
Those are also examples of movies that you could always watch, no matter how bad they are, including Rocky, including Karate Kid.
Yeah. You're the best around. No one's ever going to keep
Speaking
you down.
Of Karate Kid. I have some news.
What? Wait a minute.
I currently have decided, upon the request of my co-host on the Saturday Night Show, to get in touch with Billy Zabka.
Yes!
Yes! And then give us his number.
Johnny Lawrence.
Wow. The best 80s movie teen villain.
Tyler, I got to be honest with you. That's one of our dream guests.
Is it
William Zabka? Yes.
On the ship.
William Zabka, Eddie Deason. Who else?
Radio Dan had Eddie Deason on.
I was going to say, Eddie Deason was on Radio Dan.
Yep.
It sounds like we all want the same people. Because,
yeah, we have a fan named Mick McCart and Jim Lewis. They do a kind of a fan fiction type show called Lost in Mulberry, where we it's kind of just like an adventure serial, kind of like what we were thinking about doing first, but because we didn't want to do the effort, we now have somebody else to do it. And Eddie Deason is a major character in our show, so if we could get him as like to record the actual lines for the show, that would be awesome. But if anybody's listening and they like our show, check out Lost in Mulberry. It's absolutely hilarious at times.
But William Zabka, that's awesome. I hope you get him.
That is
some of the guests who have graced our studios here at Talk Radio X. Eddie Deason, of course. Marshall Wallace from the voice of
Nightcore.
Mrs. Kravathel.
Yes. No,
Bob Newhart show.
Okay.
Bob!
I was thinking of Roz from Night Court.
No, we've had...
Marshall Warfield.
Right.
Sorry.
We've had Peter Marshall, Master of Ceremonies of the Hollywood Squares for all those years.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Did you have Paul Lind? Could you dig him up?
No, we had the bones of Paul Lind.
Oh.
Don't be so rude.
Paul Lynn.
who else have we had that these boys might remember? You don't remember Bill Saluga? He was the guy. You doesn't have to call me Ray. You could call me Jay. That's probably a little before your time.
I'm aware of the Simpsons reference to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've had Jaime the Robot on Get Smart, who was played by Dick Gaudier.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
A lot of 70s.
Do not forget, we had, you guys had Gordy Brown.
Gordy Brown, yes. Impressionist, Vegas impressionist. I'm trying to think of some 70s guys. Oh, Larry Storch from F Troop.
Okay. Jesus. That's one I know.
Rich Little.
Some of the guests we didn't have on, were slated to be on, was David Cassidy. But David Cassidy's people said that he wouldn't be appearing because he had nothing to talk about.
Wow.
Yeah, when he has something
he
to talk about.
He can't be asked questions?
Right.
Oh, see, that's the problem with, I guess, a lot of guests. They go on a show to plug something.
Right, yeah. Right.
But why can't now it be, we just want to talk to you, man.
But no.
Yeah, now all those 70 stars are plugging that Tahiti Village stuff in Vegas and all that. So you can get those. I know poor Buzz Aldrin's doing that now.
But I want, like, say you interview William Zabka or Billy Zabka. How do you not say, so what have you been doing, man?
I saw you in that Sweep the Leg music video. You were terrific.
Exactly.
I'm about to bring that up. Oh, that's too funny.
No mercy.
I mean,
because it's interesting when you find out how someone embraces their past or they just view it with disdain. They're like, don't want to go there.
Some people would have to find that humiliating. Like, hey, man, so what was it like to be in Just One of the Guys? Or what was it, you know, did you really sweep the leg? Or, you know, stuff like that. I mean, that has to be tough to deal with. To like,
but, you know, some people are cool about that.
Some people are real cool. And some people, you know, they've done so many interviews that they're so used to it that they already have stories and they already have, you know, answers that they're going to give.
And I find that instead of, like, when one does get interviewed on, like, say, a regular talk show and they ask the regular questions, it's better to just deal with them on a personal level kind of way.
Yeah. My technique is usually kissing ass profusely.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, how do you have someone on and not just gush like an idiot?
Right.
You know, how do you actually ask them, like, meaningful questions for them to go, well, it's a really good interview. I've never heard that before.
Right. We've had recently Brigitte Nielsen.
She was awesome.
I was terrified.
Oh, poor woman.
Yeah. I mean, the
all
last
I can think of that poor woman, I think of her in Cobra, and then I think of her now, and it's like, oh my God! Smoke another cigarette, you beast.
Luckily, Bill was not your co-host for that episode.
Right. Yeah, oh my God. She could kick. No, I wouldn't say anything because she could kick my ass.
Well, yeah. And the last interview she was on before she did the live test show was Joan Rivers, and that interview ended with Joan Rivers calling her a cunt and her storming out of the studio.
Nice.
Wow.
So, and then after that interview, the next day she was doing our interview. So I was scared because even her manager, her people, said she was a pain in the ass. I'm like, oh, shit. But as it turned out, as it turned out, she was really, really nice. She was really cool. I mean, we talked about her boobies and being naked. We talked about her ass. Tyler was talking about her ass. So she turned out to be actually really, really cool. So you never know.
Well, I guess the only thing she can do is really reminisce on how hot she was at one point instead of thinking about what she looks like now.
Right. You know, you grease the wheels a little bit, you know.
Yeah. Like, it's wrong to bring up her relationship with Flava Flav as opposed to her glory days.
But she actually did talk about Flava Flav a lot.
She did.
Or as she calls him, Foofy Foofy.
Foofy Foofy.
Foofy Foofy.
Wow.
And according to her, they did not have sexual intercourse.
Thank God. Because I figured he would just fall in. I feel bad for him.
Wow. Like throwing a hot dog down the Lincoln Tunnel.
Yeah, you hear this echo going, whee!
Jesus Christ. I don't know. I'd still like to grease that.
Oh,
wow.
I'm ready for you to give it.
You heard it here, folks.
I'm ready for
probably find one similar at the local gym.
I'm ready to, for you to give it to me, Flavor Flav. Yeah. Foofy,
did
Foofy,
you say
give it to
I
me.
Would still like Foofy. To grease that? Was that?
I think he'd actually have to use some sort of grease.
just sticking with the grease theme.
Come
grease
on.
Is the word.
Is it?
Yes,
it is.
I
never understood that.
Neither did I.
I don't think anybody did. They just went along with it.
Just for the sake of the movie name.
It's got groove. Yeah. It's got feeling. Does it?
Yep.
Grease?
Yeah, it does. So just believe it and shut up.
Believe the hype.
Grease is the way we're all feeling.
All right. I feel greasy sometimes.
Grease is a lot like faith. You just don't ask about it.
Yeah. I see.
The first rule about grease is you don't ask about grease.
Don't talk about grease.
I got chills. They're multiplying. And well,
I'm a bigger fan of grease.
At
control.
This point, you're giving me douche chills.
Because the power
douche chills are
you're
multiplying.
Supplying, it's electrifying. Wow.
Man. And Tyler kicks in with the Olivia part.
You better shake up.
I think John Travolta was actually singing about thetans in that song.
Was he?
Oh. Mm-hmm.
See, I always thought they it was, I got shoes, they're multiplying. I could never figure that out.
I got
well,
shoes.
You know,
he's got mogwai, they're multiplying.
Don't get them wet.
Was Travolta a Scientologist yet with Grease, or was that...
Oh, yeah, he was a Scientologist before he even did The Boy in the Bubble.
Really?
Yeah, the lady, the old broad he fell in love with on that show, or on that movie, was a Scientologist. She's the one that introduced him to it.
Wow.
Isn't that weird? Most celebrity Scientologists, they got into it by being introduced by another one. Like Tom Cruise, it was Mimi Rogers, his wife, who got him into it.
Well, I think the whole reason behind the John Travolta's Scientology was that the woman he was with claimed that they could cure his homosexuality, and that's how he got into it.
Really? I guess it worked.
Yeah.
It stuck.
Yeah, right? And then they set him up with her as a beard. She was his beard. And, after she passed, she went to Lily Tomlin, who, well, you know,
why
everyone
you
knows
you
about
baby?
Her. And then,
was she cured of her homosexuality?
No, I don't think so. I think I don't even think she was a Scientologist. I think they were just looking for someone that would hang out with him.
Is that true?
Yeah, no, absolutely 100% true.
Who wouldn't want to hang out with Barbarino?
And then just recently there was a picture taken of him in Canada kissing a guy on the steps of his private jet. So it's obviously he wasn't cured. L. Ron didn't help him with
wow.
that.
Wow.
He still has that that nagging gay thetan.
So you still like the peepee. What?
What?
Where?
What would you say, Mr. Connor?
Just hold on to the e-meter. It'll all go away.
Do your mouth
healing.
With my rubber hose. I mean, open your nose with the rubber hose.
If there's a penalty for over-referencing on a show, I think we've met it.
Yeah.
Do you have that on your website, on your chat room? Do you have that one?
What's that?
Welcome back, Connor.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, yeah.
For those of you who don't know, if you go to the, we now have a link on Talk Radio X. You hit Nowhere in Mulberry Chat. It's their own wacky chat room. And within that. Free chat room. I'm going in there right now. And they have a list for some reason. There's just this list on the side of all of these great TV theme songs. Right now, I'm looking for.
Yeah. I was on a couple of different sites, and I always noticed this radio blog, this little thing that people had loaded up with their favorite songs. And I figured, we need something to kind of round out the blank chat page. So I went on and searched for almost every 70s, 80s TV theme I could think of and just put them on this little radio blog window. And you can just, when you're in chat, not doing anything, you could just click on it and start playing whatever, and just listen to a million nostalgic TV themes.
Wow. Well, I actually don't see Welcome Back, Kotter in there.
It's all the way at the bottom.
I look.
Fifth from the bottom.
Really?
Yep, right between Webster and What's Happening.
He knows exactly where it is.
Yep, it's alphabetical. Well, it's been there for 426 days now. Uh-huh. That shows how often I update it.
WKRP in Cincinnati. Ah, Welcome Back, Kotter. There it is. I love this.
Wasn't that song a number one for
yes.
a couple?
Yes, it was.
That was the day there was a lot of TV shows that had popular songs on the radio. There was
that ended in the very, very late 80s was whenever, you know, there was, yeah, there was quite a few. I think the last one was Friends.
It yes.
was actually popular.
Yep, that was. There was the Laverne and Shirley.
Mm-hmm. My favorite was always Great American Hero.
Believe it or not, I'm walking on air, right?
Yep.
Yep. Christopher Cross, right?
No, no. No.
That was sailing.
Believe it or not. No, who sang that?
He always sounded like he was running by the microphone, right?
Yeah. I know.
Sailing.
I think.
Then you sing the Greatest American Hero song.
It was some guy, just some single guy that was the only song he ever had that was ever popular.
One hit wonder.
Yeah.
Happy Days was a radio hit.
Wasn't that the Bill Haley's and the Comets song?
The first season, but then they had Sunday, Monday, Happy Days. Tuesday, Wednesday, Happy Days. Thursday, Friday, Happy Days. The weekend comes. The cycle hums, ready to race to you.
Here comes those douche chills again.
Indeed.
They're multiplying.
Who was the actor in Ghost and Mrs. Muir?
Hope Lang.
Wow. The fact that you just spitted that out of your mouth with, like, no delay whatsoever is shocking. I am less of a man now that you know that.
Also starring Charles Nelson Reilly.
Oh, that's who that was.
Ah.
Nice.
Who, Jeez. By the way, was also almost a guest on Talk Radio X.
Really?
Yeah, and then he died.
Yes.
What?
Ah.
Yes. They're so afraid of showing up on the show, they pass
right.
away.
And you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
One person that I would have loved to interview just to hear their natural speaking voice is Raymond Burr, because he was a big homo, but he had that I'm Raymond Burr kind of voice.
Oh, that's right. He was homo too.
Behind the curtain, he was probably like, oh, hello.
Really? Raymond Burr?
Oh, yeah. Iron Butt.
Barry Mason?
Ironsides.
Yep. Yep,
Ironside.
Yeah, he left everything to his lover Lillian, or whatever his name was.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, good for him. At least he didn't leave it to a dog or something like that.
Yeah, like Leona Helmsley, that bitch.
I like the guys who were out, like Paul Lynn and Rip Taylor.
Paul Lynn and Rip Taylor and Charles Nelson Reilly.
Just,
they're so funny. Like Paul Lynn on. The old Hollywood Squares.
He used to be on Bewitched. Riley.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, Samantha, my feet are killing me.
Oh, you know what?
She was surrounded by queens on that show, wasn't she?
She was. And she was surrounded by dicks.
Yes, she was.
And, Dick, what's his name?
York.
Dick York.
Dick York.
Dick Sargent was a very, I think he was a homo too, right? But he had terrible back problems during the whole filming. He was like did most of the scenes in a back brace. He was always
bent
very miserable.
Over for so long.
Yeah,
you know it's starting to make sense. Mrs. Kravitz was always spying because she had always had those gay males at her house. What's
right.
going on in there? She was always peeking in the window.
That's she was.
She
it
was
all
a
makes
cat.
Sense now.
She was looking for a new friend to hang out with. She was the early Grace of Will and Grace.
She would always scream in that very loud voice every time she heard something and then yell at her husband for not doing something.
At what point do you think she probably would have committed suicide during the run of the show?
Well,
I mean, seriously, when a person is that nebby and then, you know, that many things happen and she doesn't understand how it's happening or why or why it's different and she looks insane, at what point does she just put the gun in her mouth?
Yeah, I don't know. That's why they make you wait 7 days for the bullets.
Yeah.
Now, there's also, we're talking about flamboyant people. We had Charles Nelson Reilly, but I think most people remember him from the Match Game.
Yeah. Well, he was great in the, like, the Cannonball Run and that stuff like that. With he was great anytime he was with, like, Burt Reynolds and that whole crew, because he was part of that, like, little frat pack, that Burt Reynolds, Dom DeLuise, Charles Nelson Reilly.
He
kind of
was, wasn't he? Yeah. I guess he was.
Well, there was an episode of that great show that, what's that guy's name, Jason? The Dinner for Five guy?
John Favreau?
Yeah, John Favreau had that show, Dinner for Five, on IFC. And he did an episode where it was Burt Reynolds, Charles Nelson Reilly, and a couple other ones that are part of that group.
Dom DeLuise.
Dom DeLuise, and then the other guy, Charles...
Grodin.
Nelson Smith.
Charles Martin Smith. No,
it was someone else. I can't remember. He was on that Evening Shade show that Burt Reynolds had. But it was...
Oh, Charles Dunning.
Yeah. It was probably one of the funniest episodes of that show I had ever seen. Because they are just such... They were such good friends, and the way they played off each other telling stories was just absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, Dom DeLuise looks like he's fun to hang out with.
I don't know about that anymore.
Recently, I watched Blazing Saddles again. His small, tiny part in that movie is so hilarious. Do you remember what he is in that movie?
This house.
He's the choreographer or the director of some gay musical. You know, put up your hands, stick out your tush, give it a push.
That's what made those guys so great in their time, is the embrace of it and the comedy of it to make it appear less threatening, but it was funny. I mean, they were very genuinely funny people.
Excuse right. me while I whip this out.
So, clip from the movie.
Classic. That is a genius movie. And unfortunately, Mel Brooks made Dracula Dead and Loving It, so we won't talk
high
about
anxiety.
That.
But Get Smart.
Right, yeah, he made a lot of great things. I'm just talking about later on. Kind of fell off a little, but we won't talk about those movies. But.
And strangely enough, Elephant Man.
What, he produced it?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Right.
Directed by...
Blue Velvet guy.
Right.
David Lynch.
David Lynch.
But old,
you know what's Wild at Heart is probably my favorite David Lynch film.
Probably the only one that actually makes sense to me.
Lulu!
Well, that took place in reality, you see. A lot of his movies are in the mind.
It had some weird moments. It was kind of like, huh? But it was an excellent movie.
Beats Lost Highway, though, with
Bill Pullman.
Beretta as a tiny, ghostly Uncle Fester character.
Right, who represented what in the movie?
What?
He represented
Death?
Rhodes.
He represented the truth, which was trying to surface in Bill Pullman's construct.
Oh,
really?
Say how that works.
Oh, I'm going to have to go back and watch these disasters.
And as soon as the film wrapped, he went and killed his wife.
Yeah. David Lynch movies
and
are
then,
like
killed
a
his parrot.
His movies you really have to like analyze and sort of put together.
Very I wonder deep. Whatever happened to Fred.
Fred passed away quite some time ago, no doubt.
Fred,
actually, you know what it was? When Beretta wrapped, it wasn't chicken they were eating.
Well, you know, nothing poor like eating an intelligent cockatoo. Hello!
he answered the phone. How cool was that? He was like the first answering. He was the first
answering.
That was
the best
machine.
Part of the show. People would watch every week just to see the crocodile answer the telephone.
Right. He was like,
pick up the phone, Fred.
He was like the Flintstones version of an answering machine.
Yeah, it was like when Johnny Carson would have the cockatoo on that could sing I Left My Heart in San Francisco.
Right.
And he'd be like, oh, it's so great.
Yeah, do you remember that back in the day when birds on television was something?
Yeah. On talk shows, they'd be like, oh, can it sing? Can it talk? It's like, yeah, of course it can. Why else the hell would we bring this stupid bird on this show?
Sometimes they drive those tiny little bicycles, those little tricycles.
Oh, my God. Yeah. On the, you know, talk show, the evolution of talk shows and guests is and look, another top.
They did have that lady on Johnny Carson. She used to come on all the time, and she made little suits for the birds. Like, in other words, they had little arms and legs built into the suits, so they would just hang off the head of the bird, and it would look, they would look like little people. They were like little puppet bodies for the bird heads. And she would dress them up and be like, here's like accountant bird. And he'd like have a little gray
bird
suit.
Heads.
Right.
It sounds like some sort of serial killer thing. Collected bird heads. He had a closet full of them. For some reason, he had a large woman in a basement
and listen,
the bottom of a well.
It was either that
puts
or...
Puts the lotion on the skin or it gets the hose.
It was either that or the plate spinner guy would come out.
Oh, God.
That was
or the, see, and what I loved about David Letterman is he would send that up and have, like, a monkey on a tricycle that would come out.
Right.
Instead of, like, some stupid bird or something. Remember he had, one time he had a monkey cam. It was just a monkey that would run around
right.
and ride on a tricycle. Remember one time it punched Sandra Bernhardt and she got pissed off and walked off the show.
Wow. That was a moment in history.
Yeah.
Now, hold on a second, fellas. I can't appreciate, can't tell you how much I appreciate you hanging out with me for so long.
No problem.
And yeah. I don't know what we're going to do with the replay. It's going to throw off tomorrow's schedule, but hold on.
Hold Sorry on. About that.
One second. I just have to check in with my wife, my lovely wife, Twinkle.
Ah.
Let's see if we can get her on the line. She might be off doing something. Over there in China, of course, it's 11 in the afternoon or the morning.
What location in China?
Jilin. That's located in the head of the cock if China was represented by a rooster. Hello, sweetheart.
Hey, honey.
We're live on the radio. I was just calling to explain. I couldn't talk to have our... nightly romantic conversation because I'm still on the radio.
All right, Happy. Are you doing your show?
Yes, sweetheart. Doing my show, we're doing Rob's Galaxy show, and we're doing whatever's coming up at 11 show, too.
It's already coming past.
So everything okay, sweetheart? Are you going to be up? Are you home today?
And yes, I'm working in the afternoon, but right now I'm home.
Okay, I'll call you in a little later.
All right, honey.
All right, sweetheart. You're the best wife. You know that?
Oh, I hope so.
Let me just tell you something. What a great wife she is. Just as a small example. We were getting ready to leave the hotel. I had my crap all over the hotel room. And we had to wake up very early in the morning so that we could start the process of me getting to the airport. So... I said to Twinkle, we have 2 hours, right? I'm going to go take a shower, take like 10 minutes. When we get out, we'll go have breakfast. And when we come back up, we'll have like an hour to pack everything up. She says, okay, sweetheart. I go in the shower. 10 minutes later, I come out. The room is immaculate and all my bags are packed.
Like, I think she just wanted you to leave.
That could very well be.
Oh, thank God he's leaving.
I've never seen anything like that in my life. Like she had, like she did, used kung fu or something, then jumped around the room like Jackie Chan, and somehow got everything. That was amazing, sweetheart.
Well, that's what I'm good at.
That's what you're good at.
Packing.
Wow. But all right, sweetheart. I won't embarrass you anymore. I'll talk to you later, okay, baby?
right, honey. I'll talk to you later.
Love you.
Love you more.
No, love you more.
Oh,
oh
no.
That's so nice. Come on.
All right, sweetheart. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Bye, Twinkle.
What a sweet girl.
You hang up. No, you hang up.
Right.
I loved you more.
That was nice. I like that.
That was cute.
Gotta love.
Why don't you have her on the show?
She does. She used to win. She's a school teacher, and she works odd hours sometimes. But when she's available, one time she was actually co-host. She did quite well.
I've always wanted to visit China, and Shanghai, and places like that, just to see how incredible the change has been, the economy, and all that.
It's really amazing. It's the greatest thing about China, as I often say, is that you could smoke everywhere. It's amazing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's what's so great about China.
I mean, really?
Not like, that my wife lives there or it's beautiful. You can smoke everywhere. And they've got terrific steam dumplings.
Like in a hospital waiting room, in an elevator, in a supermarket.
Oh, my God. Is that a good thing?
It's terrific. Don't you understand?
Let me ask you this. Now, Chinese food in America is Americanized, right?
Absolutely. Completely different food.
What does it taste like in China? I mean, is it better?
Well, I'll tell you this. It's very, very healthy. I don't want to really get into all the details. I went over it on this show, but eating the Chinese food is a very... When you have to relieve yourself after eating real Chinese food for a couple of days, it's an immaculate process.
Yeah. Everything comes out, like years and years. You can see chewing gum and the General Tso's that you had last year.
Right. Like they... Exactly. And by the way, they don't even know who General Tso is. That's something we made up.
Does anyone know who that guy? Who is that guy?
They don't have fortune cookies.
We created that.
We created
it. I know that.
And they do not have egg rolls.
No.
Do they have sweet
But they do have
pork?
Fried and steamed dumplings.
Oh, yeah. Lots of dumplings, especially up north where I am.
There's some famous place that's just known for its gigantic dumpling. And the dumplings there are like bowls of soup just in dough.
Right.
From what I understand.
They have the regular size dumpling, but what you do is it comes with sauces. There's one garlic sauce and one vinegar sauce. And you just pick it up off the pile that they give you and you dip it in your little plate of sauce there, little bowl. And it's, that's how you eat them. Delicious. Not so many fried dumplings.
I travel trying to gorge myself. I'd come back like 50 pounds heavier.
The thing is though, you don't gain weight with that food for some reason.
Yeah.
But,
wow.
I always feel very healthy when I'm there, and my whole, digestive tract is very clean, it feels like.
Now, why did it change here in America? Did they have to, make the food, dumb it down?
I think they have to appeal to the America. They have to deep fry everything and put tons of salt.
Well, It all started with chop suey. The chop suey places opened in New York and all that. It was, it was catering to, the crazy American people that wanted something that sounded unique but really wasn't. It was just, their garbage basically that they, threw some vegetables, threw some chicken, and, put it on some fried noodles or some rice, and that was that. And I think it all really stemmed from that.
Wow.
But can't you find authentic Chinese food, or is it not even authentic?
No, there's authentic Chinese food. Well, what do you think the Chinese eat here that make our garbage Americanized Chinese food? If you want something real, you can get it. You just have to ask.
That's what I can't wait till Twinkle gets to this country, because we go to Chinese restaurants and she could order the real food in Chinese.
Yeah. And you don't know how much they appreciate that.
Right.
To have you order the real food, like what they would eat, not, some fried bit of chicken with sesame seeds and a bean curd sauce that's been sweetened with, a ridiculous amount of sugar poured over it.
Right.
So do you think they want to stop the fortune cookie charade, or they just have to keep it going?
They don't even do it.
Yeah, they don't know what a fortune cookie is.
No, but I mean,
say they come to America and they open a restaurant and they're like, we got to do a fortune cookie thing because they expect it. That's what I mean. Like, could say, we don't do fortune cookies.
Yeah, I've been to Chinese restaurants where they don't do fortune cookies.
Because I'd rather them not if it's not a real thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, fortune cookies are so worthless, really. I mean, it's just, it's basically air, like sugar, dough, and air.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's for the fortune. But, I mean, it's a tradition that's not even a Chinese tradition. Then it's all a lie, is what
right,
I'm saying.
Right. Ancient Chinese secret, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Why perpetrate this lie?
Confucius say, right. You will make someone very happy. And I'm like, what? Confucius never said that. You're making this shit up.
Exactly. So, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the way it's so funny how America takes cultures and then uses them to their own ends.
Yes. People just buy cultures.
What we do is we deep fry cultures.
Yes.
I always thought that, you know, like, you see, like, young Caucasian kids and they decide they want to buy a culture, so they go get the homeboy hat and the trousers, you know. I just think they should make it easier, and in the same way that they have like bed in a bag, they should have culture in a bag.
Yeah.
And you know, whatever it happens to be that month, like Indian stuff would come with like a turban and a sari, you know, and a little copy of the Quran.
Wait, you know what's funny about that? You mentioned the homeboy thing, and I just heard something the other day about how, you know, now the thing is, and even back in the late 90s where guys would wear their pants and they'd be halfway down their ass with their boxers sticking out, that started because of prison.
Right.
They weren't allowed to have
belts and shoelaces.
Prison.
Right.
Yeah. So they had to wear their pants like that, and now you see all these idiots walking around with their pants down around their ankles. And you go, you're just kind of like, you know how that started? Why are you doing that?
Right. Well, I've often pointed out, this is a rehash of a lot of material, but I've often pointed out that the hip-hop culture, if you look back to the early days of Run DMC, if you look at what they're doing very closely, they're making hand motions, right, talking with their hands. They're wearing gaudy jewelry. They're dressing up in suits with hats.
The laceless shoes.
And acting like gangsters. They're really being Italian mobsters. They're emulating.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, what Bill was saying, like, the shoelaces and shoes are gone. Missing shoelaces.
Well, that's after they get busted and have to go.
Yeah, that's in prison. Yeah. They take away your shoelaces.
Right.
And it's like some white kid doing it because Run DMC was, and they have no idea what it means.
Right.
Yeah, now on Long Island, you have a bunch of these white Italian kids that have the blowout hair and the fake tans and all the clothes and the jewelry and everything, and they're trying to act like something that was created, like this gangster lifestyle, and you have to think that like their grandfathers and fathers that are actually involved in that just want to put a bullet in their head.
But it's the TV version.
Yeah.
But their version of it too was pretty bad.
Like the TV original version of Planet of the Apes. Ooh. Wow.
Right, that was frightening.
That was like Starsky and Hutch in Planet of the Apes land.
We'll get a blonde guy and a brown-haired guy, and they're best friends,
and instead
drive
of
the General Lee.
Right, because they couldn't afford to create all of the sets. You know,
what was with that demographic?
Well, instead of landing in ancient New York, they landed in ancient L.A., where, amazingly, all the buildings stayed up. So they were just running around like empty sets at Universal Studios. Pretending it was like post-apocalyptic L.A. You throw a few newspapers on the streets.
let's throw up a couple huts with some nets.
Like, right.
Look, it's the future. Right. Ape's future. Genius.
What an ill-conceived movie. I mean, show.
Yeah.
I guess movies too.
Well, the first
some people
one,
really love all the movies.
Yeah, I do. I watch the first one especially. Written by?
Oh, no. Well, I'm sure I do. I just don't register.
Sorry. sorry, your time is up. The correct answer is Rod Serling of Twilight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was going to say Mel Brooks.
Damn.
AP and loving it.
My favorite is the one where the apes are in the prison or they're slaves, and then they.
Oh, you mean after you mean with Caesar?
Yes, yeah, Caesar.
He's on the planet of the apes.
The ape that learned to say no.
Yeah. Exactly, and it came full circle.
Raised by Ricardo Montalban, the very classy circus owner.
Yes.
I will name you Caesar.
And then it all went full circle in the end, right?
Right, like, because that's what made... You see, what happened was... Here's the whole time paradox.
Oh, no.
All of the cats and dogs, because of biological warfare, all of the cats and dogs on the planet Earth died. So there was no more pets. So people turned to monkeys as pets.
Hey, and, who wouldn't?
Right.
What happened to the cockatoos?
I don't know. They went straight to the
Hello.
Primate.
Could I answer your phone for you?
So, as people were keeping the monkeys as pets, they realized that they were, you know, dexterous. They could do stuff. So they actually...
They were ambidextrous.
Right. They started...
monkey butlers.
Right. They started doing things, which turned into a whole, like, slavery when people were selling monkeys as slaves. And... That's
who would be the early adopters of this? You know, I'm going to get one of those. No, I'm going to hold off
myself
for the
monkey.
Third version of that.
Yeah.
Version
I want one of them
3.0.
New iPhone monkeys.
iPhone monkey.
My slave is throwing his feces across the room.
You need a new one. That's the old version.
Take it back to the shop.
The new revision doesn't throw feces.
Yeah, I want to see that movie, but the customer service on the phone dealing with that.
Right. Excuse me, hi. My slave is masturbating constantly all day and all night.
There is.
Can you come pick it up, or do I got to take it back to the store?
Because
it's a real inconvenient.
My wife is not happy.
Yeah, we're very unhappy with this model. It's not what's on the commercial.
Wow.
Where is this show gone? Seriously.
You have a slush drop. Because I just got your answer.
Wow.
Yes. You know the show's gone far when someone says monkey schmake.
Whatever you need.
Land of 1,000 drops. Right here, ladies and gentlemen. Andrew Bird.
Including the drop.
There you go. Look at that. See? Told you.
So, what have we learned? Let's try to bring it back home.
Yes.
I want somebody to do the show notes.
Yeah. We need our own personal Marx friggin.
But listen to this. We discussed the impact of the internet on interpersonal communications as well as entertainment. We have discussed movies, although being poorly written and acted, still can be compelling to watch.
Absolutely.
We've talked about the appeal of 70s stars, especially those who are flamboyantly gay, and how they relate to being guests on the Talk Radio X network. And we've discussed early uses of technology to depict defecation and scatological type flatulence,
yes.
Eroticism. And
the use of scatological there.
And monkeys masturbating.
It all comes back to the scatological.
See? See?
It's like a David Lynch movie.
It is. It all makes mm-hmm. perfect sense. You have to really analyze this later.
Bill represented what on the show?
I represented Anna Burt's psyche and his,
right.
his ability to become one with himself.
Right. While Bill represented my inner child.
Yes.
Longing to.
I'm everyone. I'm my own
inner
child.
Where the hell was I at this point?
Tyler was the conscience.
Yes.
guiding me through right and wrong.
Oh my God, if I was your conscience, you're in so much trouble.
I know. Deep, dark secret, Tyler.
Don't even go there.
But that's why the chicks love you.
That's right.
All right.
Chicks dig dark, right?
I mean, listen, I could go on. I could keep going on. I just don't want
to
belabor this. Unless anybody, does anybody have any other? All right.
Well, you've pretty much gotten the gist of what Jason and I do pretty much all day long.
There we go.
We play off each other and
it's infectious.
Talk about the most insane things.
Or inane.
All right, if you guess this one, I legitimately will give you $50 worth of something. Not maybe not cash, but like merchandise or something. If you get this, you will actually win a real prize. Ready?
Go. Sid and Marty Croft's Baja Marimba Band Hour.
Sorry, that's an incorrect answer. Anyone else? Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you. I really do appreciate it.
Yes, pleasure having you guys on.
Yes, thank you.
Thank
you. It was a lot of fun. It was quite an experience.
It really was. Very fun. Thank you, sir. And we'll look forward to listening to your show, Nowhere in Mulberry, tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, directly following the one-hour version of the live test show tomorrow night.
Awesome.
Thank you again. Oh, by the way, the correct answer to that was the mothers-in-law.
Wow.
Huh?
Two neighbors. Eve Arden was in the mix there. Herb Ross. They lived next to each other. With one house in between them. And then their son and daughters, respectively, got together, got married, and bought the house in between. So they had mothers-in-law on... They had in-laws on both sides.
Wow. That sounds like a terribly interesting show. And
you always want to leave on a high point like that. All right. Well, thank you again.
Thank you.
Mulberry Boys. What do you say, Tyler?
I say that we pretty much killed that evening in fine fashion.
Yeah. We soaked it we soaked it to the lees, as they say.
Well, I guess so.
Squeezed every little bit of juice out of that particular potato. All right, folks. Tomorrow night, don't forget, movie reviews with Carly Sue. Movie reviews and titillation all at the same time.
Excellent.
And next week is the return of Greg Federbush. You going to be around tomorrow night there, Tyler? Hate to impose.
Should be, yes.
All right, well, we'll see. Tentatively. Pencil it in.
I'll pencil it in.
All right. And thanks to everyone joining us. And we'll find Dr. Mars. Don't worry. We'll report back on that. Please stay tuned for something. I don't know.
We always get something.
Something's coming up. Something very good. All right, folks. See you tomorrow.
Hi, I'm Robert Osborne. You're listening to Talk Radio X.